The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. He said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they are greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed, when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." As he told them this parable, "There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. When he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, 'For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but I found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?' He said to him in reply, 'Sir, leave it. For this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Today is Saturday, Saturday we dedicate to the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the Gospel we have today, Jesus calls us to conversion. To conversion. Some of you might say, well, I'm already converted, that's not for me. Hold your horses. Hold your horses. There is what is called a radical conversion, then there's the daily conversion. How many of you would write a letter to Pope Francis and say, "I'm ready to be canonized right now"? I don't think any of you. None of us are ready to be canonized. We all have a lot of conversion. And that's the first part of the Gospel. The second part, Jesus gives an image that if a tree is not going to bring forth fruit, cut it down. It's just cluttering the ground. Give it a little bit more time, but if not, just cut it down and chuck it in the fire. Okay, the message of Our Lady of Fatima, as well as Our Lady of Lourdes, is a message of conversion. And Mary is not going to be saying anything new. What Mary does is she reiterates what Jesus said in the Gospel 2,000 years ago. So I repeat, Mary's never going to reiterate, she's never going to change, but just to reiterate. No? I got an email on one of my YouTubes, and it kind of surprised me. My YouTube yesterday, I just went very quickly mentioning the 20 mysteries of the Rosary, because you probably know them by heart, but most Catholics don't. So as a teacher and catechist, I want people to memorize the 20 mysteries of the Rosary. This person, probably a person of very good will, says this, "Well, I don't like those mysteries because the Blessed Virgin in her apparitions didn't tell us to pray those mysteries." Come on. Come on. May God have mercy on that person. That's very sad. Our Lady Fatima didn't tell us to pray the luminous mysteries. Our Lady of Lourdes did not tell us to pray the luminous mysteries. Our Lady of La Salette did not tell us to pray the mysteries. And on and on. But listen, this person is placing apparitions above the Gospel. Where do those mysteries come from? The mysteries come from the Gospel itself. Who proclaimed that we should be praying the luminous mysteries? possibly the greatest pope in the history of the world, no? His name is John Paul II. Does God speak through the papacy? Hello? Of course he does, no? John Paul II was one of the most Marian popes in the history of Catholicism. From the beginning of his pontificate, totus tuus ego sum. You know what that was? He starts off his pontificate by placing himself under the protection of Our Lady. Totus tuus ego sum means I'm all yours, Jesus, through Mary. His pontificate, what was the country he visited most? Mexico. One of his first visits, his first visit outside Rome was Our Lady of Guadalupe. He wanted to give his pontificate to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So John Paul II was moved by the Holy Spirit to give us these luminous mysteries. Now, I've always thought, even before the luminous mysteries, which are very beautiful, I've always felt that there was a, if I can use this expression, a missing link in the rosary. Now, I'll tell you what, a missing link. Because you have the joyful mysteries, which most are centered around the birth of Jesus in 40 days, okay? Another one jumps 12 years, but Jesus found the temple. So you go from there, the crib, to the cross. That's a huge jump. So you're jumping a huge space of time, but there's nothing in the mystery, there was nothing in the rosary on the public life of Christ. It's like you have a sandwich, but you don't put anything in between the sandwich. you forgot to put the peanut butter and jelly in between the two sandwiches, okay? 75% of the gospel is the public life of Christ. So you got the two bookends, but don't have any books to put in the two bookends, no? So thanks be to God that we have the luminous mysteries. The luminous mysteries are wonderful mysteries. The luminous mysteries are the baptism of Jesus, the wedding feast of Cana, the proclamation of the kingdom, the transfiguration, the institution of the Eucharist. And John Paul II said he wrote the document so that we can contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and heart of Mary. I love that. Contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and heart of Mary. So there's no better way for us to really get to know and love Christ than through the eyes and heart of Mary. So on this day in which we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, let us pray that we would become like St. Dominic, like Blessed Alain de la Roche, like St. Padre Pio, like St. John Paul II, that we will always try to promote the rosary. Never speak evil against the rosary. You hear me? Never speak evil against the rosary. Do all you possibly can to get as many people to say as many rosaries in the world. The church is going through a tough time. We have to run to Mary. There is a theological concept of what is called the Benedictine option. You know what that is? The Benedictine option is this. In the time of Saint Benedict, the 4th century, the church was going through a very difficult time. And Saint Benedict, who was a Roman, was studying in the schools of Rome. He was corrupted. Or he was not corrupted, but there was a danger of corruption. So he decided to leave Rome and take refuge outside of the Rome in two places called Subiaco and Monte Cassino. He set up what is called the Benedictine Order. So what he did was he fled from corruption and found refuge in prayer and penance and contemplation. Okay, what is the Marian option? We're living in a very difficult time. We've never lived in more difficult times in the world for the church, for the parish, for the family, for our children, for young people. We've never lived in more difficult times. We have to, like in the time of Noah. Noah was saved, his wife was saved, his daughters and their husbands were saved, and a few animals were saved. All those outside the ark, what happened to them? They were drowned. They died. So the new ark of Noah, my friends, has to be the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's the Marian option. In the midst of the filth and the ugliness and the sinfulness that is engulfing all of humanity, there are two sources of refuge. And it is the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen.